Well, in the midst of this volatile election season, my guest says that if you're Christian, you can't vote for Mitt Romney.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, once again, we are coming your way live from Jerusalem. I am now set up in the hotel where I'm staying. They scrambled to try to find a workable solution after some miscommunication in the weeks leading up to the broadcast. And we are here, and I am set up in a downstairs dining room, closed door, seats about 50 people, but it's just me, moi, right here. And it's the room called Masada. I'll tell you about the importance of that in a little while. But we're looking forward to a great broadcast. We are hoping and praying and making sure the hotel management realizes that we can't have a lot of stuff going on outside the door. And there seems to be a big conference area next to me outside through other doors. Hopefully, it's just going to be the two of us, or the two or however many thousands, millions, whatever, just us here on the broadcast. And not a lot of noise from the outside. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. Okay, I'm devoting tomorrow's broadcast on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday to some really, really interesting issues. The treatment of Jewish believers in the land. Is there persecution of Jewish believers? The question of where the average secular Israeli stands in terms of their knowledge of Jewish things. You'd actually be amazed. A lot of things we'll talk about, many Jewish-related questions that you asked me yesterday. I will do my best to get to them tomorrow. But today, even though I'm live from Jerusalem, we're going to focus on moral and cultural issues in America. Number to call is 866-34-TRUTH. Let me give you a little context for today's broadcast. When I had some black Christian leaders on the air with me a couple of weeks ago who said that you could not vote for Barack Obama and be true to the Lord because of his militant pro-abortion policies, his militant pro-homosexual policies, among other things, and they were speaking as black leaders to black Christians, someone called in and said, are you going to have a white Christian leader come on and say why white Christians shouldn't vote for Romney? I said, well, I'd be open to that. I mean, I'm not an enthusiastic supporter of Mr. Romney either, not because of his Mormonism, but because of concerns as to whether he is a true moral conservative. But I said, the thing is, though, the white vote is much more divided. So the Jewish vote has been very, very heavily Democratic. The black vote has been very, very heavily, even more heavily Democratic. The white vote is a lot more divided. I said, I don't necessarily see a need to do that, but I'm open to it. Well, someone posted on my Facebook page and said, how about getting Pastor Bob Enyart on to give a case as to why Christians could not and should not vote for Mitt Romney as a white leader? I said, sure, I'm happy to do that. So that's what's going to happen. We are seeking to connect with Pastor Enyart right now, and we're not going to stray from controversy or avoid controversy, I should say. We're going to face it head on, but in a constructive way. If you're new to this broadcast, this is not a political broadcast, and it is not a conservative talk broadcast. It is a Jesus-based, Bible-based, kingdom-based broadcast. I do not identify with the Democrats or Republicans. I have much more solidarity with the Republican platform than the Democratic platform. I have voted for Republican presidential candidates in recent elections, but I don't identify primarily with either party. I identify primarily with being a follower of Jesus and sorting everything out through that lens. That doesn't mean, ultimately, you can't have a party affiliation. I'm just saying that's not the purpose of this show, and that's not who I am. And there is an article I'm going to take a look at with you in a moment by Bill Keller, internet evangelist Bill Keller. Any Christian supporting Romney is a modern-day Judas. We'll be back.
want, for fire we please.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, according to Bill Keller, any Christian supporting Romney is a modern-day Judas. On the other hand, a number of leading evangelicals, including people like Franklin Graham, have said we shouldn't worry about Romney's Mormonism. That shouldn't be our major concern. We should definitely be voting for him in the upcoming elections. Professor Doug Grotheis of Denver Theological Seminary came on the air and gave his case as to why we should be voting for Mitt Romney, and the fact that he was a Mormon was not an issue. And again, we said, well, we'll talk through both sides of this. Now, the same way when Professor Grotheis was on, I asked you to call if you differed with him. I'm doing the same with my guest, Bob Enyart, who will have no problem if you differ with him. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Bob put his faith in Jesus in 73, began a life of Bible study and ministry. He is ordained by Derby Bible Church. Began Denver Bible Church in January 1st, 2000, and he began hosting a live radio show. He's had a live TV simulcast as well, more than 50,000 copies of Bob's audio and video teaching tapes, and more thousands of Bob's writings have been sold. And now Bob is on to tell us why it's good for Christians to be true to their faith and not vote for Mitt Romney. But Bob, first, thanks for coming on the air with us.
Well, Dr. Michael Brown, it's an honor, and I did recently listen to the show where you took calls about your interview debate with Wayne Bessen, the homosexual activist.
Ah.
And I want to let you know that was a great show, and what I appreciate the most is your Christian demeanor, how Christ-like, being gentle but firm. And that was Jesus, gentle often and firm often.
Well, Bob, I appreciate that. And I do really have a heart for Wayne and want to see him come to faith. Of course, he resents that very thought, but I resented that thought before I was a believer as well. Mm. But thank you, Bob. Hey, Bob, for many of our listeners, they know who you are. Many don't. What makes your heart beat? What's your passion, Bob?
To share with people that there is a God, that Jesus Christ is our Creator, and He died and rose from the dead for us, and that as believers we can be conformed to His image through our lives. If we humble ourselves to God, we will become more Christ-like. And being Christ-like is not always being soft and tender and conceding. Sometimes it requires confrontation, as Jesus and the prophets and the apostles throughout the whole Bible. Michael, when you see how they interacted, very often there was stiff confrontation because of how wicked the world is, and the truth is unavoidably offensive. So sometimes it gets rough and tumble around here. We've been on the air for 22 years, 5 days a week, on a 50,000-watt station in Denver, and we take all comers. We just debated one of the world's leading physicists, Dr. Lawrence Krauss, and he's an atheist. It gets pretty rough. We've had Wayne Bessen on the show, and many, in fact, late-term abortionists. But then also we have believers, and it's just a joy and it's an honor to have a platform to speak to people about Christ and about what He would have us do.
Yeah, isn't it an amazing privilege? I pinch myself often. It's a great responsibility. Obviously, you've been on the air many years longer than I have. But, you know, we've been following the Lord for decades and in ministry for decades. But just the privilege of speaking to so many people, and radio is that unique listening audience that is so wide-ranging. Mm. So I commend you for taking on all comers in that sense. And let me ask you one other general question. Do you feel that on a national level, to make a generalization, that the gospel that has been preached has been watered down, compromised so as to remove offense? Or do you feel that on a national level, we're doing a good job of preaching the hardcore truth?
Well, I think when you survey the land and you look at the influence of the body of Christ, I think there are three bright, shining areas. And I believe that is the Christian homeschool movement and the personhood movement to never again compromise on the God-given right to life. And God said, do not murder, don't kill the innocent. And the third is the young earth creation movement. I believe that those are the areas where the gospel is in such a symbiotic relationship with what leaders are doing, and that those three areas are producing great fruit. I think the compromise has been horrific.
Uh-huh.
I think God is grieved at what often is presented as Christianity. I think we're raising a generation of kids that don't really know or don't believe that it's wrong to have sex out of marriage, sex outside of marriage. They don't know that they're worth waiting for. I think that they truly think that homosexuality is just an alternative. And what happens then is that the public schools succeed in making the kids think that Jesus Christ is unreliable. If homosexuality is right and good, and then Jesus warned us not to disobey God and God's law, and he said that God made us male and female from the beginning of creation. Well, if the public schools are right, then Jesus was wrong. And I think that's really their goal, to undermine faith in God and the Christian gospel.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, there is a spiritual battle that we're in, and we'll get mischaracterized for saying that, but that's fine. Jesus was mischaracterized, and he was perfect,
right.
and we're far from it.
Right.
And obviously, we've got to keep our demeanor, as you said, reflecting who he is. And if people cannot see a difference in our conduct and our lifestyles and our families, I don't blame them for not believing our message. But it is an urgent time. We come now to a critical election. I have said on the air that I don't see how a Christian could vote for Mr. Obama in good conscience because of his radical pro-abortion, pro-homosexual policies, among other things. And I have been a tepid supporter of Mitt Romney, not because of issues with his Mormonism, but because of concerns as to whether he's a true moral conservative, especially based on the way he governed in Massachusetts. I understand your convictions on that are stronger. So take a few minutes to make your case as to why Christians should not vote for Mitt Romney. We'll make sure you have sufficient time to do that, and then we'll interact with our callers on it. And, of course, you can be as free to be controversial as you want on my show as you would on your show, and I also trust your wisdom and judgment in it. So go for it, sir.
Well, thank you, Michael. I think the reason you said why a Christian cannot vote for Obama applies also to Mitt Romney, that he is aggressively pro-child killing, pro-abortion, and pro-homosexual. And what we think we document at ProLifeProfiles.com is that Obama is actually the lesser of two evils. If someone was convinced, and I think it's fundamentally an incorrect thought that I could do evil that good might come of it, or that I could support evil that good might come of it, if someone was convinced that they should support the lesser of two evils, then they'd have to vote for Barack Obama. I think we've documented that. But everyone I've asked, even from leading ministries, if you can see that Obama is the lesser of two evils, would you vote for him? And they say absolutely not. And so what I think is they're really not voting based on that justification. So when we look at Mitt Romney, we see that, as Alan Keyes has said, as nationally syndicated talk show host Steve Dace, author Greg Jackson, J.C. Watts, who I just interviewed just on Thursday, we see that Barack Obama wants to do the things that Mitt Romney has already accomplished, that Barack Obama is the junior partner, that Obama is Romney light. And so that's the claim, right? Well, we offer $100 to anyone in the public who can document errors on our Mitt Romney profile at ProLifeProfiles.com, because we show that Mitt Romney, through his Romney Care, he was the architect of Obamacare. Romney Care has the individual mandate that all conservative Christians hate. Romney Care is worse than Obamacare, because it pays for tax-funded abortion on demand, late term, everything. The things that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama would like to do, Mitt Romney has already done. The key advisors who built RomneyCare with Mitt Romney went to the White House 12 times to help develop Obamacare, including meeting with Barack Obama in the Oval Office. So Obamacare is RomneyCare. Mitt Romney arranged for an enormous federal subsidy of RomneyCare so that we are all, so it is a national program. It's funded by our federal tax dollars, and we are all paying for those abortions funded by...
All right, tell you what, Bob, let me just jump in. You can sum up a bit more. You've been articulate and clear and given us some serious warnings here. You can finish your thoughts, and then we'll take your calls where you can interact with Bob Englert. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown coming away live from Jerusalem, but focused on issues in America. My guest, Pastor Bob Englert, radio host for many years, well-known to many of you. And for those who don't know Bob, we'll make sure you know his website and how to be in touch with his ministry. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Here in Israel, there's overwhelmingly strong support for Romney compared to Obama. Very, very few Israelis want Mr. Obama reelected, do not feel that he's been a friend of Israel on many levels, feel that Mr. Romney would be a much better friend of Israel. We haven't even gotten into that. But Pastor Englert is presenting a case to us not based on Mitt Romney's Mormonism, say, as others have, but saying that he cannot be trusted on moral conservative issues. In fact, he has a proven track record of being a pro-abortion, pro-gay activist president, and with a health care plan that would have the negatives, the evils that Obamacare does have. So, Bob, obviously, over the course of the next 40 minutes, you can articulate and unpack more of that, especially as callers differ. But are there any other key things that you wanted to raise that you feel... Go ahead, please.
Maybe two things, Michael.
Yes.
One, that Mitt Romney instituted homosexual marriage, and his campaign lies to us Christians, as they've been doing for years. And you could go to the source documents to see that they're lying. The Goodrich decision in Massachusetts, the governor was not even a party to the case. Yet he ordered the county clerks to issue homosexual marriage licenses. We could talk through the details of that.
Mm-hmm.
He did that illegally, and of course it's immoral. And then also people say, well, there's no one perfect. We know that, but God provides standards. So if your church is looking for a pastor and they find a guy who's really good at growing the church and bringing in revenue, but he's having an affair, and he says, you know I'm having an affair. I'm not perfect. Don't judge me. And the nominating committee says, you know, there's no one perfect, so we got to pick the lesser of two evils, and he's going to fix what's wrong economically with our church. Well, that would be a terrible sin. And I think, as Alan Keyes says, bring it down to just one child. What if Mitt Romney said, look, I only support killing just one child, not the tens of thousands he actually supports, but just one. And if you vote for me, I'll fix our nation's economic woes. Well, that's the devil's game, because if we would all agree to support a leader who would kill just one child, then Satan himself would be happy to end abortion worldwide, because the issue is not abortion. The issue is obedience to God.
Mm-hmm.
And just think, if it was your own child or your grandchild, where the Bible, Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. And we all realize, well, I'd never agree to support a politician who would kill my own grandchild. I have grandkids like you do, Michael. But this is my neighbor's child, and I'm willing to hold my nose, look the other way, even though Romney funds the killing of my neighbor's children, because I think he's going to be better for my pocketbook and better for our foreign policy.
Got it. All right. We will come to the question of then what do we do, and do we vote for third-party candidate, or what should our response be? But Bob, thanks for laying those things out in a clear-headed, dispassionate way. Amy Contrada has a 600-page book called Mitt Romney's Deception, where she would provide in-depth documentation for many of the charges that you're bringing, and these are areas that have caused me concern over these months. Let's hear from some callers with different perspectives. We've got plenty of time to interact, starting with James in Catonsville, Maryland. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thanks so much for taking my call. I want to thank God for both of you and all that you do for Christ. And I think it's very interesting, the opposite view that's brought into a question here. I have to admit that my views are a lot like Dr. Brown's, that I'm not quite sure who it is that I'm going to vote for. We're almost presented an option between voting for Nimrod or Lira. And I'm having a hard time figuring out whether or not I can even not sit this election out. But I do have to differ in this regard, that when we take both candidates and we make a list on both sides, the pros and cons, and also look at the fact of what definitively Obama has done, and we have to say that Mitt Romney, he hasn't had the opportunity to do these things yet, I have to say that there's just no way that I could support Obama. And when you look at the fact that he's proven to be an enemy of Israel through his actions, he's reversed don't ask, don't tell, his impotent approach to the Middle East, his affiliation with corrupt organizations, and issues like with the solar company, I can't remember the name, Slinger, and legal immigration, Fast and Furious, citizens, his questionable citizenship, radical affiliation, Islam.
All right, James, tell you what, I just because we've got a break coming up, I'm agreeing with every word you're saying. I would like for you to speak more, but just to let Bob respond very quickly, because we got a break coming up. Right? But thank you, James. All right. Go ahead, Bob.
I think on virtually every issue, we could show that Mitt Romney is worse than Obama. James just mentioned the don't ask, don't tell policy with the military, which is so confusing because now the whole church has taken both sides of that issue. But whether we should install it or repeal it. But Mitt Romney, even as J.C. Watts said on my show on Thursday, in the last 45 days, Mitt Romney even has undermined the wholesomeness and the health of the Boy Scouts of America by criticizing them for their policy that says that homosexuality is wrong. He did that back in the 80s. He did it through his entire political career, and he's done it to this very day. So when we think somebody's here is going to help save America, and they won't even come to the defense. I mean, he even was against a Chick-fil-A, and he's against the Boy Scouts. He sides with the homosexuals against the Boy Scouts. So I think that we it's almost like we want to deceive ourselves into thinking Mitt Romney is a hero who's going to uphold a Christian worldview.
Right. And Bob, and thank you, James, for the call. Bob, what's noticeable to me is that you have not said the word Mormon yet. So,
right.
There are others, most notably the most extreme statement I found was the Bill Keller one, that you're a modern-day Judas if you vote for Romney, but had to do with Mormonism.
Yes.
But you haven't based that. That hasn't been my issue either.
Well,
It's these concerns and these recent things, the Chick-fil-A, Boy Scouts. Hey, listen, we're gonna take a break, but Bob, what's the best way for people to reach you online, your website?
Well, that's so kind of you, Michael, to ask. Our website is KGov, like government, KGOV.com, like the call letters of a radio station.
Got it. All right, KGov.com. We'll be back with more of Bob Enyart. But first, my book, It's Time to Rock the Boat, A Call to Preach a Confrontational Gospel, is massively relevant for this hour. In terms of, we cannot put our trust in the White House or government. There must be a gospel-based solution to the problems in America. It's an eye-opening book. It's an $18 value, but it's published together with my other book, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, which asks the question, is the charismatic church slain in the spirit or down for the count? The two books together, plus today's interview with Pastor Enyart, just $20 postage paid, but call now to order 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978, and prayerfully sort these critical issues out before the Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire broadcast. Friends, we've got a ton of really important Jewish-Israel-related issues we'll be talking about all day tomorrow on The Line of Fire broadcast. But today our focus is still moral, cultural issues here in America. That's what we focus on Wednesday, focus on the world. And my guest, radio host for two decades, Pastor Bob Enyart, has very, very strong reservations. That would be an understatement in terms of Christians voting for Mitt Romney. And in fact, he feels that between Mr. Romney and Mr. Obama, that Mr. Obama is the lesser of two evils. Now, I would personally question that, but I'm not necessarily going to question it aggressively. And my reason for having Pastor Enyart on the air is for him to raise his concerns. If you differ with Pastor Enyart, I want you to call, all right? Many will agree with him, but if you differ, I want you to call. I say we cannot vote for Mr. Obama because of his radical pro-abortion, pro-homosexual policies, and then his stance towards Israel raises many other concerns for me. Pastor Enyart's saying that with an even greater exclamation point for Mr. Obama. So Bob,
yeah.
Before we get to more calls, and you can, again, continue to unpack your position, with each point you've made, you've got an array of material behind it. These are not soundbite answers on your part. There's depth in each one of them. The question then is, if someone was coming to you just on a personal level and said, what should I do then? Mm-hmm. Who should I vote for? Do I sit out the election? Do I go third party? Do I try to put out a protest vote? Because you don't like the lesser of two evils theories, what would you say?
That you, when Jesus was asked, is it A or B, he often chose C. A wise man often, when he's told, like in Germany, there were districts where Stalin and Hitler, basically the Marxists or the National Socialists, they split the lion's share of the vote. The plurality of the vote went to the Nazis or the Marxists. So a Christian there who's easily manipulated might be told, look, it's a two-party system. One of them's going to win. And guess what? The Marxists, if we could look into the future, the Marxists will kill 20 million of their own people, whereas the Nazis will kill 6 million Jews. So we should really vote for Hitler and the National Socialists, because that's the lesser of two evils. And, Michael, obviously, virtually all Christians hearing that will recognize the perversion in that. God never calls us to predict the future. He only calls us to obey him, to humble ourselves and trust him. So when we try to make wild calculations about the future and say America will be better off if more Christians will agree to support a child killer like Mitt Romney, to support, and you're right, I have not mentioned that he's a Mormon. We do have a profile of the Mormon Church at prolifeprofiles.com. We document absolutely irrefragably that the Mormon Church supports killing unborn children in five different circumstances. They admit it openly. We show it. And so there, as in our Mitt Romney profile, we take opportunistic shots at the Mormons for being a cult. But you're right. We do not lead with that because we're somewhat gun-shy about promoting a religious test for government office. And the reason is it's always well-intentioned, but it never seems to help the government. It only hurts the church. So we shy away from using the Mormonism as the primary objection to Mitt Romney. But at the same time, if Romney does become president, you can guarantee that this will normalize Mormonism, just as you have Ann Coulter and so many others saying that Mormonism is Christianity, Mormons are Christians, and this, of course, is a great tragedy. They deny the Trinity, the eternal deity of Jesus Christ. Mormonism is a cult.
Got it. All right, loud and clear. Friends, you differ with Bob. Hey, Bob, one of our callers thinks you're crazy. We'll hear from him when we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire broadcast with my special guest, radio host and pastor and Bible teacher, Bob Enyart, who is claiming that between Mr. Obama and Mr. Romney, that Mr. Obama is the lesser of two evils, although he's not necessarily endorsing a vote for Mr. Obama. And he's saying, based on Mr. Romney's track record governing in Massachusetts, as well as even recent stances, statements he's made regarding Boy Scouts, regarding Chick-fil-A and homosexual issues, that Mitt Romney is clearly a pro-homosexual activist, despite other statements that are being made. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm asking for callers who differ with Mr. Enyart, which I've done with any guest I've had on, taking a political position. And of course, Bob, this is for you a kingdom Christian position more than a political position. But let's take some calls. And beginning with John in Revere, Massachusetts, I see you don't agree with my guest.
Oh, no, I don't agree with them at all. I really wouldn't consider him a pastor at all. I don't consider the president a Christian either.
Uh-huh. So what's your difference? Okay, we both agree, and I would assume Bob agrees that President Obama does not give any evidence of being a born-again Christian. But why do you take exception with his statements about Mitt Romney? Let's put President Obama aside, because he's really not our focus today. Why do you take issue with his classifications of Mitt Romney? It seems he's basing these things on fact.
Well, I mean, I'm not really getting into the Mormonism, but I, you know, he says that he's pro-life, so I believe him. I mean, he's a good Mormon, I guess. I believe him. And, you know, whether the church is for abortion, you know, that's, I'm not really going to dig into that, but I'm sure he's not for abortion. And he was a good governor. He left the state, you know, with a lot of money in the bank. And I don't know. I've been listening to Eazy-E for 32 years, and I only listen to the good pastors, and they're all on my Facebook, and it seems like they're all for Mitt Romney.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every single, you know, good people that I actually call preachers.
And John, I think that you're basically right in that, although as Michael Brown points out, that the body of Christ is in a virtual moral freefall. The body of Christ is in a crisis. We're raising Christians who do not have a Christian worldview. And so when we say that we should support Mitt Romney, and then it comes out that he's aggressively pro-abortion, pro-homosexual marriage, pro-socialist health care, and all that, and we want our kids to recognize that these things are evil, they look at us like we're nuts. Because our heroes, the ones we think are going to save our country, affirm all these wicked views. And when you mention that Mitt Romney says he's pro-life, well, we offer a $100 prize to anyone who can document that we're wrong on his profile.
Well, you better mail it to me. I'll leave you my address.
Okay, it's prolifeprofiles.com/Romney.
No, just mail it to me. I'll give you my address.
Well, we'll give you the $100, and we'll be happy to.
Well, he said he's pro-life.
Well,
I'm not the judge. My name isn't Jesus. I'm not going to judge a man.
Well,
you're sitting here and you're judging. You know, Obamacare isn't all that bad.
John, you said that I'm not a Christian, so obviously you do judge, right? Now, we document that in 1994, Romney said he was pro-choice. In 2001, he said he was pro-life. In 2002, he said he's pro-choice. In 2004, pro-life. In 2005, he's pro-choice again. In 2006, he said he's pro-life. That was his big pro-life conversion. Then in 2006, later that year, he passed RomneyCare, which fully funds even late-term abortion on demand, not just what they call medically necessary, not just rape and incest. It funds all abortion, including with federal tax dollars. And most recently, in 2012, he even said he has a health exception. Rape, incest, life of the mother, health exception, which means abortion on demand. So he's been lying to you, although some people want to be lied to. Actions speak louder than words, and records speak louder than words.
All right. Hey, John, thank you for weighing in. Hey, please give us that website again, Bob, so others can take you up on that challenge.
Sure. It's prolifeprofiles.com.
Prolifeprofiles.com. And look, just like I pointed out that Mr. Obama was clearly for same-sex marriage in 1996 before twice he came out against it and said as a Christian and according to Scripture, then to say his views have evolved. And I said, I don't believe they've evolved for a moment. I believe the first statement and the last statement, not the middle two. You'd have, say, a longer series of statements regarding abortion and Mr. Romney. Mary in Houston, Texas, thanks for holding and welcome to the Line of Fire.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, you're on the air, Mary, please.
Okay. My name's Mary, and I just want to point out that everything that the pastor has said about Romney, Obama has done in spades. I mean, first of all, he lied about his homosexual position. When he was running in 2008, he'd always been pro-gay. And then to get elected, he said he was pro-marriage. He is an unapologetic, partial birth abortion, kill babies born alive track record. He has made sure that we continue to give Planned Parenthood $500 million a year to kill babies. The thing that really concerns me is his appointment of judges. I mean, I can't vote for a Democrat because in their party platform, all the judges, I mean, the litmus test is they have to be pro-gay, they have to be pro-abortion. You've got Elena Kagan, who he appointed, who is a homosexual. If we get one more Democratic judge on the Supreme Court, kiss it goodbye because they don't care about the Constitution. I mean, Barack Obama quotes Saul Alinsky more than he does the Constitution.
All right,
Mary, that's a good point, Mary, but I think we can show that Mitt Romney has done all these things. He's done them worse than Barack Obama has. You know, the Supreme Court for decades has been 7 of 9 justices are Republican nominated. And it was the Republican Supreme Court that passed Roe v. Wade. It was even a Republican judge, Harry Blackmun, who wrote Roe v. Wade. Here in Colorado, it was our Republican governor in 67 who signed abortion into law. And so we've had a crisis. We have had, in fact, remember when they killed Terri Schiavo in Florida? We had all 6 of the Republican nominees on the Supreme Court voting to let them kill her, judicial starvation, and kill Terri Schiavo.
Well, maybe they weren't properly vetted.
Well, we're talking about the 2 Reagan appointees, the 2 George H.W. Bush, and the 2 George W. Bush.
Okay.
And not only that, I think it was the Second Circuit in Florida that every Republican on that court voted to kill Terri Schiavo. So at some point, in fact, John Roberts, who we here in Denver, Colorado, Colorado Right to Life, issued a press release warning our Christian leaders nationwide that John Roberts was radically pro-homosexual and pro-abortion. And our Christian leaders all lobbied to have him confirmed, and he has now given us Obamacare. He was the deciding vote, just like Arlen Specter in Pennsylvania was the deciding vote for the U.S. Senate. He had to switch parties right after the election to become a Democrat. We warned everyone he's aggressively pro-abortion, yet National Right to Life, Focus on the Family, and all the typical groups were supportive of these pro-abortion judges and Republicans, they're doing now with Mitt Romney.
But, all right, consider something else. At least if Romney is elected, Paul Ryan does not have those positions, and he very well could be the next president. If we elect Obama again,
Mary,
then there's no chance of a Republican president.
The reason Paul Ryan and Mitt Romney threw our U.S. Senate candidate in Missouri, Todd Akin, under the bus is not because he spoke thoughtlessly for a moment after a long conservative Christian 100% pro-life career, but it's because it was their opportunity to attack those Christians who believe that every child should be protected by love and by law. That was what made him guilty. And Paul Ryan, his claim to fame is that all these social programs where the government interventionist and socialism that we fought against when the Democrats introduced them, Paul Ryan wants to save them. So the new definition of a conservative today is a Republican who wants to save the democratic liberal social programs. We have forgotten what it means that God said, do not steal. We've forgotten what it means that it is very damaging to the family for the government to take care of us as though we were children. And so Mitt Romney, he wants to save Medicare. They want to save all these social programs that all conservative Christians opposed when they were introduced. We've slid so far, we no longer recognize that we are the Democrats of our father's generation.
All right. Bob, you've given us a whole lot to think about and stirred some pots today. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. Hey, Joey, just find out for a moment, Joey or Andrew, if our guest does have a few more minutes. 866-348-7884. Just check to see if, or Dwight, see if he's got a few more minutes that can, and he can stay on with us. We can take some more calls with our guest, Bob Enyart. Coming away live from Jerusalem, Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-348-7884. And we've had this entire hour, and seeing if Pastor Enyart's going to have a little more time. He's laid out his views as to why he feels we cannot vote for Mitt Romney. Now, I'm convinced we cannot vote for Barack Obama. Is it possible we can't vote for either candidate? It could be. That certainly is possible. But we're going to talk these things through. Bob, let's try to get in a few more callers if we can. And again, I thank you, Bob, for being articulate and being patient and being clear-headed and challenging us. And just found out that you can stay on into our second hour. So I'm gonna shuffle a few things around on this end, but that's the joy of live radio. And we'll get to some more callers, and we'll have you restate some of your issue. Well, thank you, really. The honor is ours entirely. Joan in Washington, D.C., please share your differences with Bob. Hello, Joan, are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. There was static, and I didn't hear who you had said.
Yes, please, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. And I'll get to this really fast. It seems to me, I'm not familiar with your guest speaker, but it seems to me that he's more or less leveled the field as far as Christian believers. Both candidates, we question whether they're true believers. He says the issues that Christians believe are questioning abortion, the gay marriage situation. He's sort of, as I said, leveled the field. So I'm asking, what do we have left to consider to base our vote on? That
That's
seems
a big question.
To be that we would be left with the economic issue, which he kind of shot down. But we're left with that. We're left with the question of Israel. We're left with, and again, this is part of the economic thing, but the job issue. And also, he also brought up a Plan C, which I already called when he talked about this. But it seems to me his Plan C solution, other than just what he just said about no vote, which I can't agree on. I think we as Americans need to get out there and vote.
Yeah, and Joan, that's a question that I raised.
And I'll finish this real quick, and hopefully you'll be able to fill in the gaps for me because I'm nervous.
You're doing great.
Other thing, Plan C. Okay, Plan C sounds like our only choice is to vote independent or one of the other groups. What we've seen from past history, that just cancels or weakens our two main parties. And ultimately, those leaders or candidates end up throwing their weight behind one of the two leading ones. So I don't see that Plan C, despite his using Hitler and, you know, as an example, I don't see that that's a viable solution.
All right, let's go to Bob just because our time is short.
Yes, I'll
go ahead.
Thank you, Matt.
Joan, thank you. But that's exactly why so many Lutherans in Germany thought they should vote for the National Socialists. And that's why so many Jews in Israel were members of the Herodian political party, because they said this is the lesser of two evils, because the alternatives are worse. And so God doesn't ask us to predict the future. Like 4 years ago, we were told by the McCain campaign that Barack Obama would not kill these terrorists. He wouldn't kill Muslim terrorists. Well, it took him 48 hours to kill his first Muslim terrorist. And using drone attacks, he's been killing them at a faster rate than George W. Bush did. And he killed Osama bin Laden. So I'm not defending Obama at all. But what I'm saying is we cannot predict the future. Mitt Romney, God would look at what they've done so far. And Mitt Romney, through abortion, tax-funded abortion, he has killed more Jewish children in Massachusetts than I think we could calculate that Barack Obama has killed. So it is a great tragedy for Christians to try to take this wolf in sheep's clothing and say he's really not that bad.
Right. So, Bob, the summary in short would be to look at him in terms of his moral conservatism as a wolf in sheep's clothing. Obviously, the abortion stats you mentioned with Jewish babies killed, when we factor in New York and Mr. Obama's strong pro-abortion policies and how things have risen in New York, then I might challenge those stats there.
Sure.
But look, the very reason I've asked you to be on the air with me was to raise these concerns in an articulate way. Again, give out the website one more time with your $100
challenge.
And Michael,
that backs up our claims, even on that issue. ProLifeProfiles.com, ProLifeProfiles.com. And for example, there you find out that Bush increased the funding for Planned Parenthood by hundreds of millions of dollars over even Bill Clinton in eight years. So
right,
we think. Yeah, and we think, like, the American Enterprise Institute, conservative Bush think tank, admitted in the last 50 years, Republican administrations have outspent Democratic administrations as far as increased social spending by 8%, taking a half a century view. And that includes the funding for Planned Parenthood. So we're really deceiving ourselves into thinking that the Republicans are against child killing. It's the rank-and-file Republicans who are against, but as long as we keep voting for the leaders who are pro-abortion and support funding Planned Parenthood and pro-homosexuality, we're going to be harming our own kids.
All right, Bob, loud and clear, if you want to be in contact with Bob, again, KGOV.com. He's agreed to stay on another hour. You can continue listening by going to AskDrBrown.org and clicking on the Line of Fire. And I want to sketch out in this next hour a gospel-based solution to the critical problems in America today. My book, It's Time to Rock the Boat, lays out the calling on Jesus followers to preach a confrontational gospel and speaks to some of the wrong doctrine in the church today, a counterfeit grace message, a message that denies the lordship of Jesus, and ultimately shows why we cannot put our ultimate trust in the White House. The book is an $18 book, but we've published it together with another $18 book, and you get one for free, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, one of the most challenging books I ever wrote. Those two books together, plus the radio program with Pastor Enyart, $20 postage paid, but call right now to order 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, I have not put my trust in the Democratic Party, and I have not put my trust in the Republican Party, nor have I put it in a particular candidate. The ultimate trust is in Jesus, and the church must wake up if America is to be changed. Yes, we are in the midst of a volatile election season, and America is shaking. But let me tell you, the ultimate answer is found in the gospel.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we are coming away live from Jerusalem. I'm settled in the hotel. Folks scrambled today to find a connection that would work for our portable radio equipment and found me a room downstairs in the belly. Well, not the belly of the hotel. They have conference rooms here. I'm in a room that could seat about 50 people for a meal. But it's quiet. It's isolated. It's actually got good acoustics. And we are settled in, and I've got a special announcement. My guest from the last hour, radio host Bob Enyart, Bible teacher, pastor, a busy man himself, has consented to stay on as much time as he can give us in this next hour to explain his passionate, deeply convictional feeling that we cannot vote for Mitt Romney. And he even makes the claim that Mitt Romney is the worst of two evils between Mitt Romney and Barack Obama. I've asked you to call if you differ with Bob Enyart. The number to call is 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. Or you can weigh in on our website, askdrbrown.org, and you can click on the Line of Fire. Bob, thanks so much for joining us. And as this hour unfolds, at a certain point, I want us to agree on what we can do as followers of Jesus beyond voting. The vote's important, but there are things we must do beyond that. So just so our listeners can hear your heart on this,
yes.
On a scale of 1 to 10, and this is an arbitrary number you'll come up with, it's not scientific, but on a scale of 1 to 10, in terms of transforming America, seeing Christian values, seeing the things we live for, raised up on a greater level in America, where would you put the importance of this election? In other words, if we vote for Obama, if we vote for Romney, versus if we don't, you know, where is that on your scale of spiritual priorities?
I would say 10.
Okay.
Michael, the things that are important is the creation battle, that we teach people that there is a God and he made us in his image and his likeness, that we teach people that God made us male and female, because homosexuality is the throwing off of all things Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And that one or the other will be in the closet. They're mutually exclusive in the public square. Either Christianity will be permitted publicly, or homosexuality, not both, and we're seeing that. The Bible as God's word, God's revealed word, marriage as between a man and a woman. These are the leading issues. Christian education, that God never authorized the government to educate, that socialism and communism are wrong, not because they don't work well, but because God said, do not steal. And this is something that Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan would utterly reject. They've committed themselves. I mean, it's the characteristic of their careers that they want to save these government interventionist programs, which conservative Christians for decades knew were immoral. And now our conservative heroes want to save our social programs, and Romney's the architect of Obamacare. So these are the issues. And then, of course, you get to the doctrinal issues, specifically the deity of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word and so many other issues. So whether Obama, and Michael, you might be able to remember this. I'm in my 50s. I've heard this for decades. This is the most important election of our lifetime.
Uh-huh.
They never say this election is not important. They want your money, and they want your vote, so this is the most important election. But I submit, after 12 years of Reagan-Bush, the homosexuals became a leading force in America. So we're doing something wrong.
Got it. All right, are we putting our trust, especially as white evangelicals and the Republican Party, is something fundamentally amiss? We'll be back.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Here's what I wrote shortly after Bill Clinton was elected president, 866-348-7884. This is in my book, It's Time to Rock the Boat. The Church of America must come to a difficult conclusion. We must face the cold, hard facts. It's too late for our nation. It's too late for moral reform, too late for a social transformation, too late for a return to the good old days unless masses of sinners get saved. And obviously the book calls for awakening in the church and the evangelism of the lost. For years we put our trust in the government, I wrote. We hoped that the president would hold the line, that the right appointees to the Supreme Court would help stem the flood of unrighteousness, that a politically active church would turn our nation back. But we've been misled. We've put our confidence in the flesh. In our fight for religious rights, we've subtly confessed, in man do we trust, but government cannot save. Only Jesus can save, and he must be our message. 866-34-TRUTH. The last hour, the phones were jammed the entire hour. We had the phones jammed. We got into this hour. Some folks have not been able to hold, so we've actually got a couple lines open. If you want to differ with my guest, Bob Anyart, who passionately, convictionally, rationally, factually tells us that in his view, Mitt Romney is the greater of two evils between him and Barack Obama. And not only so, that we have already seen what Mitt Romney would do based on what he's done in Massachusetts. Bob, let me ask one question.
Sure.
And I haven't differed really with anything you've said so far. You have, let's just say, put more meat on the skeleton. I've had concerns. I've had serious concerns and issues. There's part of me that always wants to hope for the best.
Yeah.
But on the my bottom line, in my view, voting this election is an 8 or 9 on my list of how to transform America. So you put it as a 10. We're pretty close on that.
Right.
But before I take some more calls, I'm here in Israel. The Israelis, by and large, are deeply concerned about Mr. Obama's policies.
Yeah.
They feel he's absolutely not a real friend of Israel. Mm-hmm. There have been so many things from the recent dissing of Netanyahu, again, not even having Ambassador Rice or Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in to hear Prime Minister Netanyahu speak, a feeling of lack of solidarity, concern about his Middle Eastern policies. They are much, much more positive towards Mitt Romney, and he's got a long history with Netanyahu.
Right.
Israel is an important issue to me, not the most important, but one of the most important.
Sure.
What about that issue? Let's just say said, okay, it's a wash on all these other things. What about Israel?
Yeah, well, the Jews are the apple of God's eye. He loves them, and I've led 3 tours to Israel. We love Israel. A church I attended raised money to buy an ambulance to donate to a hospital in Jerusalem. So we love the Jews. But God doesn't ask us to ignore the fact that someone who wants our support is a child killer and promotes homosexual marriage and does all these things that are destroying Jews just like they're destroying Americans. So what we'll do is give a false sense of security to Jews and thinking, you know, even America, for all its Christian leaders and voice, even they know that child killing is not so bad. And that rejecting the eternal deity of Jesus Christ is not so bad. And promoting homosexuality is not so bad. So even the conservative Christians voted for Mitt Romney. So we give this false sense of security to millions of Jews, not only in Israel, but in America, that we Christians are compromisers. We don't really believe that the Bible is God's word or that we have to trust Christ. We, when it comes down to it, like any other person, we will compromise with what we call evil. And that's the most destructive thing we can do for Israel and for the Jews. And, Michael, there is no way to predict the future. That's why God never asks us to predict the future to decide what is right or what is wrong. And with Barack Obama, I despised him. He kills innocent children. He's anti-Christian in his worldview, like Mitt Romney is. But it is possible that Israel is safer with an Obama administration than with a McCain administration, for example, because millions of Muslims and Arabs certainly were thankful that America elected a president who they saw themselves in to some degree. And so that could have reduced the international hatred of America and Israel by some degree. But regardless, none of that would mean, well, then I'd vote for Obama if I think there'll be less pressure against Israel or less pressure against America. I wouldn't do that because Obama supports killing the innocent.
Right. And the common refrain here with weaved into every one of your answers is that conviction doesn't compromise, and conviction doesn't take if it's going to cause the sacrifice of one innocent life, then true conviction says, no, I have to stand up for that life regardless of cost or consequence. So we don't just go quote the lesser of two evils, whichever way we interpret that. Obviously, whatever positive feelings there might have been to Barack Obama when many looked at him as a fellow Muslim or a closet Muslim, the hostilities towards America remain what they were. But like you said, can't predict the future. All right, we got our phones jammed with people who differ with you. Let's go to Houston, Texas. John, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, thank you for having me on.
You're welcome.
Bob, I would like to say that I do agree with you on some issues. Mitt Romney would not be my first choice. In fact, he's probably my last or next to last choice of the Republicans that were available. But I do think that a lot of what you said can be disputed in one way, and that is that sometimes you can judge a person by their enemies and by their friends. And I see an overwhelming support from Planned Parenthood, the biggest murderer of babies in our nation, probably in the world.
Right.
It's for Obama, and they're against Romney. I also see overwhelming support from the gay, lesbian, and transgender caucus. I see overwhelming for Obama and not for Romney. I see overwhelming support from the socialistic unions. I see his...
John, I'm happy to address that. You are making valid observations.
Just to join in, I think that's a great point, too. The ACLUs of the world, the anti-moral, anti-God, anti-Christian movements seem to be decidedly lined up with the Democratic Party and Mr. Obama and are terrified about where the Republicans are going, Mr. Romney. So great points, John. I'm sure you've got a response, Bob.
Yeah. So, Michael, these are competitions. They're not actually enemies. When Planned Parenthood knows that Mitt Romney gave them a permanent seat on the Massachusetts Board of Health, and that's the board that decides how much Planned Parenthood gets paid for tax-funded abortions. With homosexuals, this is true, in fact, of every issue. And we could go back and we could look at Germany and see how the competition between the Nazis and the Marxists, it was only a competition. They essentially had the same worldview, but they hated each other because of the competition. It's like football fans who hate one another, not for any moral reason, but it's because of the competition. So I'll give you an example with Sarah Palin. She put a Planned Parenthood board member on the state of Alaska Supreme Court. And when she did this is an unrepentant Planned Parenthood board member. When she did that, she had a list of three nominees. She picked one. She picked the worst of the three, and she praised her, and she said that this woman, Morgan Kristen, I think her name was, would be a tremendous justice for the state of Colorado because of her wisdom, her experience, for the state of Alaska. And so when the homosexuals and the pro-aborts come out against Romney and against Sarah Palin, it's not necessarily because of a fundamental difference. It's because these people are perceived as representing the gospel of Jesus Christ. But in reality, when these people promote homosexuality and promote abortion, then these people are destroying the gospel as it's presented in America. And so they are the sheep in wolf's clothing. And then by definition, they're more dangerous than the wolf.
Got it. Hey, John, thank you. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Rich and Coram on Long Island, why don't you share your difference, and then Bob will respond to you right after our break. But over to you, Rich.
Hey, hi, Dr. Brown. Hi, Bob. How you doing?
Howdy. Hi, Rich.
Well, first of all, I don't think Obama should have even been elected. Because I know Christians personally, and from watching the news and different things, I know a lot of, a lot of Christians voted for him. And
right.
to vote for him the first time is should have been an impossibility for a Christian because
right.
he killed, he's very strongly supported partial birth abortion. And abortion in any sense of the word is shedding innocent blood, and God does not agree with that. I mean, we know.
Rich,
Dr. Brown,
you're
you know
so right. If I could interrupt for a second.
No, sure.
All right, well, tell you what. Yeah. Let's just carry this out to the other side of the break. Rich and our special guest, Bob Enyart, you can visit him by going to the radio website, kgov.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us live from Jerusalem. I've got a lot of Jewish-related things I want to talk to you about tomorrow. Take your Jewish-related calls. Today, it's Wednesday. Our focus is on the world, and that means moral, cultural issues. And we're focused squarely on America with the elections coming up. I've had Professor Doug Grotheis from Denver Theological Seminary come on the air and say why we should vote for Mitt Romney, even though he's a Mormon. I've had black Christian leaders come on saying why we cannot vote for Barack Obama and appealing to their fellow black Christians not to because of his moral stands. And now Pastor Bob Enyart, radio host, Bible teacher, saying why Christians cannot vote for Mitt Romney. And saying, without endorsing in any way Barack Obama, saying that Barack Obama is the lesser of two evils. So, Bob, thank you for stirring the pot, stirring the waters, being articulate. And let's just rejoin Rich on Coram, Long Island. And, Bob, you had just wanted to jump in. Rich was mentioning how Obama four times vetoed the ban on partial birth abortion, which is as extreme as can be. Here's a baby who survived abortion, let right. it be illegal to then kill that baby four times. Barack Obama vetoed that before he was president. You wanted to jump in, then we'll go back to Rich.
Yeah, the whole PBA fiasco is so tragic. There are so many leaders, including the Ten Commandments judge, Judge Roy Moore, and Alan Keyes, and just so many who've come out and said that that whole fiasco was a fundraiser. It was never able to save a single baby. So the sad thing is that the whole thing was a 15-year distraction to the true fight to try to stop killing unborn children. But Rich is right. He said, how could one Christian ever vote for Barack Obama because he supports killing children in the womb? That's murder. Well, the same thing is true with Mitt Romney. And in fact, I'd love Rich or any of your callers to take a guess as to how many of the exceptions that Romney has, how many children would he approve of killing by his own policies in 4 years as president in this country? And online, there's exceptionscalculator.com. You could put in the name of any candidate, their term of office, and you check off their policies. Like Romney says, he supports killing unborn children for rape, incest, life, states' rights, and so on. So you check them, and as you check them, the tally keeps increasing. And I think, Michael, a lot of Christians think Romney only supports killing one or two kids. I'd love to hear an estimate from any caller, because when they see with their own eyes how many kids he advocates killing, I think they will be stunned.
Got it. All right. And you've got that website, exceptionscalculator.com. So Rich, back to you then. Let's just move away from Mr. Obama for the moment. Was there something specific you wanted to say in favor of voting for Mitt Romney?
Well, I don't think we should vote. I don't know. It's the lesser of two evils. Evil is evil, so... I don't think Romney's a much better choice after listening to Bob, you know, the things that he's been bringing out about him. But the one, if it's a redeeming quality, you know, he does support Israel. And maybe God would have a little bit more mercy on us in that case. Or the other alternative is, first of all, any politician, in my opinion, is a liar, a thief, and they're just out for themselves. I'm sorry if that offends anyone, but this is my personal opinion. I don't believe them, at least the politicians of the last 20 or 30 years.
And just hey, but Rich, you're a New Yorker also, so some of the skepticism's built in. But let's say thank God for the fine politicians that are out there.
Yeah,
they're fine, committed Christians, and there are others. There are others who aren't committed Christians who are still stand-up kind of people. But hey, Rich, I appreciate you weighing in. You have articulated the dilemma, the issue. Let's hit this from a different angle. Ruth in Boston, interesting question you want to raise, and I think it's a worthy question for our guest, Bob Enyart. So go ahead, Ruth, in Boston, Massachusetts.
Well, first of all, I could never vote for Obama because of killing the babies. I can't vote for anyone that believes in killing babies and that believes in gay marriages and things that God says, thou shall not. And things that are an abomination to the Lord. And I think that's why we're going through all of this trouble in America now. But the question is, when Mitt Romney talks, he acts like he repented of everything. I know that some people say he's been interviewed and he says he's a born-again Christian, but I can't believe that because he has not left the Mormon church that believes in worshiping the angel Moroni and the pearl of great price, because I was in the Mormon church and I got out of it because I was saved by Jesus.
Good for you.
And but now the
question would be, though, has he repented? Right. You don't believe that in any way Mitt Romney has renounced his Mormonism, nor do I've ever heard him say that he has. But if he now says that he endorses the Republican pro-life platform and that he is pro-life and he stands for marriage as a union of a man and a woman.
Right.
Maybe he has truly repented. Maybe he's had a change of heart. Bob doesn't love believe all things. Don't we now take him at his word and say, okay, maybe he has had a change of heart.
Yeah, God is the God of hope. But we are... Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Jesus says we're to look at their fruit. And Mitt Romney had a political calculation for Republican presidential politics when he said he became pro-life. And everything I've described, he's done after his pro-life conversion. So his pro-life conversion is a lie. And the truth is that he authorizes funding for killing unborn children. He lies about that. First, he denies that Romney Care even does that. Then he says, well, if it does it, it's not my fault. He controlled 7 of the 10 seats on the state health board that went ahead from day one and paid for tax-funded abortion with Romney Care. So this is a real crisis. And when Ruth says, I cannot vote for anyone who would kill babies, well, that, of course, would disqualify Mitt Romney, as it should. But so many of our Christian leaders, they think that we're going to save America by obscuring the fact that Mitt Romney is a child killer and that he's a cultist and that he radically supports homosexuality and that he's a socialist and that he is the architect of Obamacare.
I don't think you could be any more to the point, Bob, and clear. Any of my listeners who have taken exception when from time to time, and this is not common, but from time to time, when I've taken exception to Mr. Obama's policies or statements, as he is our president, of course, it's come up more now in the election season, and said, well, I'm just bashing Obama. You please, I hope, as I have Bob Enyart as my guest, and as he said these things in the clearest terms, saying that Mitt Romney is a child killer, etc., and I am not trying to censor him or stop him. I have one allegiance, friends, and my allegiance is to the gospel and to the word of God. If that puts me in a Republican or a Democrat or another party's camp, if that puts me voting in one way or another, so be it. But I have allegiance in one place. And I know, friends, I know the change we want to see will not come through whomever we elect this time. Oh, I believe it's an important election, but the change we want to see will not come primarily or even at all through this coming election.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I spent several years working on a commentary in the book of Jeremiah, published a couple years back in the new edition of the Expositor's Bible Commentary put out by Zondervan. It's about 550 pages of commentary. And, of course, I meditated much on Jeremiah's mission. I felt I lived it out, lived in the isolation and pain that he lived in, just experienced life with him over those years. At the beginning of Jeremiah, he's given a commission. Here he is, just a youth, a na'ar in Hebrew. Doesn't mean a young man, maybe even a teenager. He's a youth. He's given this commission from the Lord, and it's a sixfold commission, but the first four parts of it were tear down, tear up, demolish, destroy, and the last two parts were build and plant. I say that to say this. If we tear down, if we on this broadcast say what is wrong, we then want to clearly say what is right. Sometimes it takes a while to lay out what's wrong, but we must always lay out what's right. Paul spoke of the apostolic authority he had and said it wasn't to tear down, but it was to build up. Our goal ultimately here on the Line of Fire broadcast is to raise up an army of Jesus revolutionaries. Oh, not the way the world thinks of an army and not the way the world thinks of revolution. Not anger, not intimidation, not guns, battles, knives, but radical followers of Jesus. Or I should just say normal New Testament disciples who are so radically changed by him that we go out and change our world. And the revolution must begin in the church. And one election after another, we look at the importance of the election, and I'm not doubting the importance of this election. And I'm not doubting that there have been many negative changes that have taken place under the administration of Mr. Obama. But I want to say clearly that I've been around long enough now, 57 years old, to remember election after election, where if we can just get our guy in, everything will change. And of course, we recognize that's not how it works, because the change that we want to see is going to be change that comes from God's people being radically changed. We go and change our world. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. My guest the last hour and a half, thrilled he could stay on this extra time with us, has been Pastor Bob Enyart. He's been a radio host for 20 years, a Bible teacher, and a strong, strong critic of Mitt Romney. And I've had him on to say why he believes Christians cannot vote for Mitt Romney as president. Now, I want us to take probably the last 10 or 15 minutes of this half hour to talk about constructive things we can do as believers to bring about gospel change, social change, the change that we want to see in our society, in family, morality, things that we can do, and then practically what we do with this election. And I've asked folks to call in who differ with my guest, and we've been fielding these calls, those who feel that he's wrong about reservations in terms of voting for Mitt Romney. Bob, again, I really appreciate you staying on this whole extra hour for us. I know you're busy. We've just got this opening segment, just another minute or so. But you remember the excitement when Ronald Reagan was elected.
I sure do.
We had less excitement when George W. Bush was elected, but still some level.
Yeah.
So do you think we, especially white evangelicals, have been making the same mistake over and again, thinking we get this guy in, then America's going to become pro-life and America's going to be this and that? And just speak to that for a minute or so.
Yeah, they've all told us that ending abortion is not their litmus test when it comes to nominating judges. Mitt Romney said his model is John Roberts, who just was the deciding vote to keep Obamacare in our country. And back when Clinton, in his second year in office, 1994, if you remember the Republican Revolution, my listeners were ecstatic with all the Republicans, hundreds that won their House of Representatives seats all over the country. And I went on the air that Wednesday and said, in 2 years from now, our nation will be far worse than it is today, because the Republican Party has lost its way. It's a secular, pro-abortion, pro-homosexual party, socialist. And of course, history shows that was true.
Got it. All right, we'll be back with Pastor Bob Enyart.
It's It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us live from Jerusalem. 866-34-TRUTH, Michael Brown. Delighted to be with you. My guest, the last hour and a half, we've got, 20-something minutes to go, Pastor Bob Enyart, longtime radio host. The website, KGov, K-G-O-V, KGov.com. Those are the radio call letters to find out more about his ministry and work. Bob, again, thanks for joining us. We got a bunch of folks that want to talk to you. And you know what's interesting? You haven't raised your voice. You haven't been insulting. I mean, obviously, if people believe Mitt Romney is the sainted leader of America, or Barack Obama, the sainted leader of America, they'll be upset with you. But just kind of putting information out does stir some things.
Yeah.
So let's here's the issue. Either you're right or wrong. I don't think there's a middle ground on this one, to be honest.
Yeah.
Either your assessment of Mr. Romney is accurate or you're really off. I don't think there's a middle ground. So let's listen carefully. These are weighty issues here. Peter in Lakeland, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
You know, every year I hear the abortion thing come up in January, and I'm always frustrated because I never really hear an answer on how we're going to solve this. So my question is, can a president come into the office and automatically veto Roe v. Wade or make abortion illegal his first year in office? Is that even something the president's capable of accomplishing, or is it something that he can just cut federal funding to Planned Parenthood, which would be fantastic? But my understanding is the president can't come in and do that.
Go ahead, Bob.
So if you have a president who actually supports abortion, then obviously when he comes into office, he's not going to try to end abortion. Every one of us have incredible influence on the world around us. And so a president should do absolutely everything he could do legally and use the bully pulpit morally to stop child killing. Absolutely everything. Instead, even our Republican presidents have put pro-abortion judges on the court with the support of our pro-family national organizations, and we then defend them for it. In Colorado, the personhood battle is not only during elections. It's every day of the year. The modern personhood movement, supported by Mike Huckabee and the governor of Texas and so many now major Christian leaders, Alan Keyes and others, Steve Dace, the personhood movement is ultimately the way to stop killing unborn children, recognizing that they are a person because they're made in God's image.
Yeah, and Peter, just to add to that, Roe v. Wade would have to be overturned by the Supreme Court, and then you have endless potential battles that could come out of that and statewide battles. But the president could not just come in by his own power. He could use especially the bully pulpit and other influences. But thank you for the call and raising that. Bob, I spoke recently to several thousand Christians at a gathering the day before the Democratic National Convention began. Some of my friends put it together in Charlotte where we came together to pray and confess our own sin. And I made some statements as I brought the closing message at this rally, one of which was that the only reason abortion on demand still exists in Charlotte, North Carolina, where we live, and that there's not a greater hope for the mothers and the unborn babies is because of the apathy of the church.
Yeah.
I also said that no fault heterosexual divorce in the church has done more to undermine marriage than gay activists combined. Mm. And again, I would love to have a candidate that like a modern Josiah that perhaps in 8 years could, you know, and still it's 8 years and we still have a political system. It's not like a king in Israel. We have to recognize that. But I'd love there to be some kind of champion. But even so, the great change is not going to come from the top down. All right, go ahead.
Michael, we named one of our seven boys Josiah because of what you just said. But as Rich, I think in Long Island, said, we have so many Christians voting for Barack Obama. And these are Christians who say they're pro-life, and they go to Bible churches even. So as soon as our Christian leaders say it's okay to vote for a politician who kills some kids, as soon as they say that, then you're not going to be, none of us are going to be able to control them and tell them don't vote for Obama or don't vote for the next Democrat. Because if it's not a disqualifying issue to actually kill children, then it's really up to them. That's called moral relativism. And this exceptionscalculator.com website I mentioned, I put in Mitt Romney's name, and I put in a four-year term, and I checked his policies as he says they are. And the number of children he would support killing in America is 2.6 million children, 2.6 million in 4 years through abortion.
And all right, so, Bob, just to jump in and go back to something to review, a former student of mine now doing apologetics and teaching in public schools for years, I just noticed a post of his on my Facebook page where he said, as again, we've got different listeners at different times of the hour, naturally. He said, just tuned in. Does your guest have documentation we can all look at to validate his claims, especially about Boy Scouts and Chick-fil-A comments? So especially this last half hour, we pick up a whole different group of listeners.
Sure,
let's just review that very quickly with the controversy. I mean, it's bizarre it's even a controversy, but the controversy with Chick-fil-A and then the issue about Boy Scouts not allowing homosexual scout leaders. I follow those comments as well. What did Mitt Romney say? And then where's the best place to go for documentation of his policies?
Well, the best place to go is ProLifeProfiles.com because that's sponsored by American Right to Life, and they offer $100 as a prize, as a thank you for correction of facts. And so the comment about the Boy Scouts, it was reported nationally briefly, but it was repeated by J.C. Watts, and I think you know his name, Michael. He's a hero of the conservative Christian movement in America, a godly man who retired from politics to be a pastor, beloved by millions. And I interviewed him Thursday, and he brought that up, and he said, you know, I look back, and Romney was opposing the Boy Scouts way back 20-some years ago, and he's still doing it to this day. And he also refused to say a word in support of Chick-fil-A. And the reason is because he holds the other side. He is aggressively pro-homosexual. And we document in Massachusetts that the state constitution, we link to it from Pro-Life Profiles. It says that the court cannot change the law on marriage. Only the legislature can. It says it in the judicial branch section on judicial powers. Mitt Romney turned that into an activist court on steroids. He pretended that they had the authority to rewrite the law, and when they said, we think homosexual marriage should be legal in Massachusetts, Romney enforced it by ordering the county clerks to issue homosexual marriage licenses. He should have told them that the Constitution says you have no authority over this. The Constitution literally says it's the governor and the legislature alone that have authority over law on marriage. So, and Romney did the same thing with abortion. The state Supreme Court said, we think you should cover medically necessary abortion, and RomneyCare put that on steroids, and he covers all abortion, on-demand, late-term abortion, put Planned Parenthood on the state health board, all paid for by federal and state tax dollars.
All right, friends. Check into the sites, ProLifeProfiles.com. Get Amy Contrada's book, Mitt Romney's Deception, 600-plus pages. Sort these things out. What I'm asking you to do, friends, is sort these things out, study the issues out, and then come to prayerful conclusions. Glenda in Largo, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, Michael. One quick thing. I got the Mark Chapinsky CD. It's fabulous.
Oh, wonderful. Good,
it's
good.
Fabulous.
I'm so glad to hear you like it.
And I listened to it all weekend and worshipped in my room.
Wonderful.
But I have here a copy of a book called The Amateur by Edward Klein.
Mm-hmm.
And in it, he has a conversation with Jeremiah Wright concerning Obama's Christianity. And I read from page 40. Barack says, yeah, Rev, I studied Islam, but help me understand Christianity because I already know Islam. And I said, well, let's start it. That's Jeremiah Wright. I said, well, let's start at the beginning. Who do you say Jesus is? Let's boil it down to basics. The writer of the book, Andrew Klein, says, did you convert Obama from Islam to Christianity? I asked Wright. Wright says, that's hard to tell. I think I convinced him that it was okay for him to make a choice in terms of who he believes Jesus is, and I told him it was really okay and not a put-down of the Muslim part of his family or his Muslim friends.
Right. So, Glenda, raising questions about the legitimacy of Barack Obama's Christianity, that to me, that's not a question. He's obviously not a follower of Jesus or a born-again man. But that, of course, would not be a contention with Pastor Enyart either, because 100% he would say he could not stand with Barack Obama. His point is, neither can we stand with Mitt Romney. All right, what do we do? We come back, Bob Enyart and I are going to talk about what then do we do as believers.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I am here in Jerusalem with a wonderful, clear connection. We invested in some portable radio equipment earlier this year that enables me to travel a bit more and do high-quality broadcasts from different parts of the world and to bring you perspectives from the front lines, not just talking about it, but out there doing it. And we are in Jerusalem right now. My special guest has been Pastor Bob Enyart, 866-348-7884, the number to call. And actually, Dwight, I need you, as I've just lost connection through computer with the studio, I just need you to put Pastor Bob back on the line with me as I am unable to connect, trying to reconnect, but hopefully everyone can hear me loud and clear. So Bob, on a practical level, I want to ask two questions, a short one and a longer one. The short one is this. In terms of the elections, what does a Christian do? These elections coming up right now, what does a Christian do with these elections? Where do we go? Ah, hang on. What do you know? It wasn't just me. It was check this out. Here I am in Jerusalem, safe and sound in my secluded place of broadcast in the hotel, which they have specially set up for me. And back in America, high-tech America, the phone lines crashed. All of you that were on, phone lines crashed, and we have just reconnected with Bob. All right, Bob, I don't know if that was...
Hey, Michael.
I don't know if that was the devil, if that was the Republican terrorist, Democrat terrorist, some other group, aliens or something. Okay, so Bob, thanks for reconnecting. We just had our whole system crash in the studio. The funny thing is the one thing uncrashed was my connection from Jerusalem.
Well, that's right. Good. That's
We've literally got, 3-4 minutes. So the short question and the longer question. The short question is... do you recommend that Christians sit out this election or prayerfully put in a third-party vote as a matter of conscience, or do you not give any recommendation?
Sure. In Colorado, we have multiple candidates running for president on the ballot, including at the very top of the ballot. We have the Constitution Party candidate, Virgil Good. We have Tom Hoefling with America's Party. And, of course, in many states, people could write in candidates. So we cannot win this election in this way, but we can obey God. And I submit that, Michael, I know you were looking at the post on Facebook when I quoted the number from the exceptionscalculator.com, and it is stunning, and anyone could do it. They don't have to trust me. They could just look at the math at exceptionscalculator.com. You put in Mitt Romney, and you check his policies. The kids that he says he supports killing, and in 4 years as president, it comes to 2.6 million children. So this is not, even if it was one child, it would be horrific to agree to support a leader so that America is safer if you have to agree, well, he's going to kill one child, but it's only one child. God looks at the exceptions. God didn't look at how many apples were left on the tree after Eve and Adam ate from the tree. God looks at the exceptions. if there's a pastor who's only had one affair in the last year, that's what God looks at. There's a politician who's only going to kill one Jew, that's it. Please support me because I'm only killing one Jew, and you know those other guys, they want to kill a lot of them. Well, then that tells us that these people are asking for support for their wickedness. So vote third party or write in Jesus Christ or write in your pastor, but don't knowingly support somebody who kills children.
Got it. All right. And then just in this last minute, and I'll give some recommendations of a book folks can get from me with some gospel strategies, but do you believe that it's too late for America to change, or do you believe that potentially our best days could be ahead of us?
Yeah, well, I believe that we should live as though the Lord is returning soon, but we plan as though he won't return in our whole lives. I actually want to get your book on Jeremiah. I heard during the break about your book. But I think when there's life, there's hope. And that's why so many prophecies of destruction in the Bible, God shows that he's a merciful God. And he's merciful because when there's life, there's hope. And he's a God of hope. So I expect the worst, and I work toward the best.
Got it. Well, I appreciate the perspective. And, Bob, we will gladly send you my Jeremiah book as a
wow.
gift. Do you have my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America?
Well, we've talked about A Queer Thing Happened to America, but I don't have the book.
Okay. I've done the same. All right. You will. We've got your contact info, Bob. We will send
Great.
You copies of Jeremiah. With Jeremiah, you also get Ezekiel and Lamentations thrown in by other scholars. And then the Queer Thing Happened to America. And we will stay in touch. But thanks for coming on. Thanks for sharing your convictions. Thanks for challenging our listeners. Bob Enyart, you can visit with him at kgov, kgov.com. God bless you, man. Thanks for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. God bless.
All right. Well, friends, if we got you concerned or upset, I think it's just important that we talk these things through. And even if you plan to vote for Mr. Romney, I want you to do so recognizing that is not the hope of America. I want you to do so recognizing the change must come from us. And I felt that acutely. Look, I fall into the same mentality every election season. I want to see this one in. I don't want to see that one in. I want to see this happen, that happen. But I always know it's not going to change things the way I desire. And most of the politicians, once they get in, will gravitate in certain directions that will just kind of keep the status quo rather than rock the boat. Oh, I know you say it hasn't happened in the last 4 years. It's been radically negative, and I wouldn't argue with that. But our hope can only be in one place. So look, there's a manual I have. There's a book I have that challenges us as to what the real gospel is and how the gospel shakes things up and how the gospel's confrontational by nature, a book in which I expose counterfeit grace teaching and wrong teaching that denies the lordship of Jesus, as well as our calling to follow Jesus by life or by death. It's called It's Time to Rock the Boat. It is massively relevant today. It's an $18 book, but we republished it with another $18 book, and you get one for free when you get the two. You also get Whatever Happened to the Power of God, which many readers felt was the most powerful book I'd written, the two for one, and will also include the interview with Pastor Bob Enyart, today's broadcast. $20 postage paid for everything, all right? $20 postage paid. Please take advantage of this offer and help us. Help us do what we're doing. Help us move forward. We really do need your help. You can be blessed and you can help others. 1-800-278-9978. The two books in one plus the CD from today's broadcast. 1-800-278-9978. If you can help with an additional gift, that would mean a lot to me as we labor on the front lines here in Jerusalem. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, during this volatile election season, let us more than ever seek the face of God, and rather than following the polls day and night, let's search our own hearts and say, am I ablaze? Am I on fire? How does God look at me?